You are now tuned into the Heavy Hitters podcast. I'm Eric Celia.
And I'm Reggie Wade.
And Reg, we are here again. This is 2 weeks in a row. We're back on track.
Yes, on a starry, starry night.
Yes, I love the nighttime podcast.
Oh, me too. It just, you know, I'm a night person. I know you're a night person too. I'm in a better mood at night. Yeah. I'm effervescent.
Well, you know what? You keep throwing that word in today. Do you have word of the day toilet paper?
No, it's good. It's a good word.
Well, I work nights, so I'm a night person, you know?
I hear that. Night owl. I love it. You know, I even feel healthy at night. I feel like I could breathe better.
Really?
I don't know what it is.
Really? I think everything just looks nicer at night. Like, if we go to a baseball game, I'm a night baseball guy.
Well, it's our generation where day baseball was lost.
Yeah, I cringe when I hear all these baseball purists say they want the World Series back in the daytime.
Well, if you look at it, when we played baseball as a kid, we played in the day.
But I still rather go to the Dust Bowl on 65th and 8th and play under the lights.
I hear that, which tomorrow will be the case.
Yeah, you better do whatever you can to clear that stuff up. We need you at first.
You know what? I am on the DL. You know, I am part of the Bad Boys, is it? I was almost going to say the Blazers softball team. But I've had a terrible case. I don't know what my tonsils have been swollen. My chest has been congested. I've been sick for now 2 weeks, and I'm just getting out. I'm almost off the DL. But I'm here for the podcast because this is what's important now. And it's important. Eric, tell me why this podcast is so important. Something's gripped not only our city, but our nation. What is that?
And then you point to me when you're ready.
And they said, all right, Tannenbaum, not there. All right, so at least
old
the guy.
Tannenbaum.
At least the guy that signs the checks will be there. Woody Johnson, not there. All
right. Not the head coach, right?
At least the loudmouth.
Right.
The potbelly stove loudmouth. At least he'll be there. No, they couldn't even get his brother. What is he doing?
All right, well, the starting quarterback was there now.
No.
They threw this kid into the fire with no one there to help
him
out.
No, all he had was an assistant and his green jet tie, and he proceeded to go up there and talk about how excited he was. I think the count, it was like a drinking game. It was 53 times, I believe, he said he was excited to be a Jet. But one thing I take away from the press conference is, you know what, this guy is a natural born star. And I really liked his candidness when he said that he would like to be a Jaguar, because a lot of players, when they're in between two teams or a couple options, and they finally choose one and one is chosen for them, they forget like that was even on the table. Like, oh, I didn't even want to think about going there. And he said, no, it was my hometown, and I said I would like to be a Jaguar, but that fell through, and now I'm a Jet. But the question remains, as good as Tebow was, and as good as he was answering questions, they asked him questions about his faith, and he talked about it a little, but he was very quick to remind them, this is a football press conference. There's a time and a place for everything. One thing I kept thinking throughout is, how weird is this, and how is this going to work? You have Rex Ryan saying he may get 20 snaps a game. You have Tannenbaum saying he's the backup. I mean, what is this organization needs to learn to speak with one voice? Because it's confusing for their fan base, it's confusing for their players, and I really think they have just put the kibosh on their team for no apparent reason whatsoever, except for keeping up with the Joneses, which is Big Brother, the New York Giants. Eric?
Reg, here's the thing. If you were to tell me they want Tebow, and they were to tell us that they want Tebow because they like his system, they like his style, mm-hmm. and they're going to go in that direction, I respect that more than you trying to pull the wool over my eyes and telling me that Mark Sanchez is going to be the starting quarterback of this team, because we all know it's a lie.
Yeah, it is.
We all know it's a lie. Just like as soon as the season's over, we have no plans to change any coaches. We like Brian Schottenheimer. He's a good guy. And where's Brian Schottenheimer now?
Yeah, he's over in Miami.
He's not nowhere near. I don't think it's Miami.
Where did he go? No, he interviewed in Miami.
I think it's the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams, yep.
But now he's nowhere near the Jets.
No.
So, I mean, we all know what this is coming to.
Yep.
Why they're trying to pull this with us and lie to our face like they do all the time. And I'm not a Jet fan, and I'm getting offended.
Yeah,
but exactly. I'm a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. You know, you play in my town. At least come out with some honesty here.
Exactly.
At least be forthright with your plan. Yep. There's not a lot of Tebow lovers in New York. Let's be honest here. There's not. Not. This isn't the South. This isn't a small town where he captivates everything. But be honest with the people. Say, we want Tebow. This is who we want to start. This is the direction we want to go. Don't tell us, oh, he's going to be the backup. Because you don't bring in a backup and have a press conference like this. You don't do that for a backup. You don't send him out on the town to go see Wicked and all these other Broadway shows like he's been doing.
You tell me David Carr's not going to get the same treatment tomorrow?
It's a joke, Reg. This organization is a joke. I know it, you know it. They're a laughing stock. We said it last year. A circus life under Big Top World. I mean, that's all this team is. They're a joke. It's a circus. It is a circus.
And here's the thing. You never know where these Jets are going to stop. I heard something, you know, saying with all the craziness that's going on with the Saints, does Drew Brees demand out because everything's hitting the fan? I wouldn't be surprised if they try to trade for Drew Brees and have three quarterbacks and say Sanchez is still our guy, but Drew Brees is the backup.
Well,
Tebow's the backup's backup. You don't never know where they're going to stop.
I said this last week. I think Sanchez needs to go and ask for a trade. I mean, how long are you going to let this team jerk you around for?
I would jerk this man, $20 million guarantee.
Yeah, I understand that, Reg. I understand that, but that's part of the business, the money they make. That's why I'll never bring into question the contracts they get. They literally put their lives on risk every time they go out to a football field. It's completely different from any other sport.
But I will other not players argue, that are better than him didn't get that.
No, but listen, it can only be so long where you let teams jerk you around. Because right now, this guy has, up to this point, better numbers than Eli Manning did in his first 3 years. He's took his team further than Eli Manning did. Now, am I saying he's going to be on Eli's level one day? Don't know. Am I saying he's going to be better than Eli Manning one day? Doubtful. But this guy has done nothing to deserve what the treatment they're giving him right now. Nothing. Nothing. Would the Giants do this? Did the Giants do this with Eli Manning?
No,
and bring in someone to pressure him. No, because the Giants
run things with class.
That's right. They're a class organization. They do everything by the book. They give their quarterback time to develop into the quarterback they want him to be. This Jet organization, from top to bottom, from Woody Johnson and his stupid Johnson & Johnson baby powder to the big belly, fat, loudmouth Rex Ryan, it's a complete laughing stock and a joke. And if I'm a Jet fan, which I'm not, but if I'm a Jet fan, I would be teed off and
Tebowed.
I mean, how could you stand for this? It's a pure publicity stunt.
Now, I have 2 points. One, with the money, I do take issue because you have a guy like Drew Brees before the whole bounty gate having to beg for an extension, having to beg for a new contract.
He won this a Super is New Bowl, York.
And they throw Sanchez a bone for doing absolutely nothing.
But this is New York, Reg.
Give him a one-year deal. Give him a one-year deal and say we take it from there. Let him earn his stripes.
Mark Sanchez, Reg, sorry to cut you off. Mark Sanchez had to deal with a different offensive line last year, a disgruntled bunch of receivers, okay, a bunch of self-centered players.
How much do we know was his own doing? How much of that do we know?
Come on, Reg. Santonio Holmes had this reputation before the Jets. Okay,
but it wasn't just Santonio. Plaxico Burress
has had this reputation before the Jets.
It was they the brought whole
in
room.
They yeah, but who brings in these locker room guys?
It's the
this
owners.
Is what I'm trying to say from top to bottom. This is all the things Sanchez had to deal with. All his besides Dustin Keller, all his comfortability guys, his guys he throws the ball to in crunch time were gone. They're all taken from him. And he had to adjust to this. And they went 8-8. I mean, come on. He went to 2 AFC championship games. He went into New England and into Indianapolis and beat Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
All right, now
come on.
How much of that was the Jets defense? This Jets defense was not the same Jets defense of old. Those Jet teams were a hallmark of their defense.
Reg, of course the defense had a lot to do with it. But
we see now, when the guy defense still is not there, what does Mark Sanchez do?
But Reg, he didn't have a terrible year.
No.
I mean,
But
I just named you all the factors that he had to adjust to. He deserves a shot to start at least another year.
We see, especially, it was no clearer than that Miami game where the guy threw pick after pick, low football IQ, not knowing. I don't know whether they say it now. The new excuse is that he's not tall enough to look. All right, then drop baloney. Back 15 yards like Drew Brees does.
As my grandfather would say, that's baloney.
Then that's the only plausible excuse that they throw. They said, oh, he's not tall enough. No, admit that he has a lot of development to do. Bringing in this Tebow is not going to help.
How about some of those interceptions being attributed to receivers dogging their routes? How about that?
All right, you can put that on that.
At that point, the last week of the season against Miami, nobody had any heart in that game. They were a dead team. They were dead.
Remember, and this and brings up with Tebow, that Denver game, I don't think Mark Sanchez, that's one of the worst games he's ever played.
Did Mark Sanchez leave the field with the lead?
Yes, he did.
He did his job. He left the field with the lead. It's not his fault Eric Coleman got his ankles absolutely broken by Tim Tebow on that play. It's not his fault.
They were points
that the Jets defense looked like Swiss cheese against a guy who can't even throw the football.
There were points in that game where Mark Sanchez could have taken them down the field to put the nail in the coffin, and he couldn't complete a
pass.
But
he did what he's been doing the first 2 years he was in New York, and that's enough to win the football
game. Well, enough isn't good enough. Enough isn't good enough.
It is. It is good enough. It's supposed to be good enough. This is, you said it yourself. This is supposed to be a defensive team. This is supposed to be a team where.
Supposed to, but it isn't. You have to step his
fault,
game up.
But that's not his fault.
Then you have to step your game up.
But he still left the field with a lead.
Do people feel bad for Eli Manning?
But he still left the field with a lead.
Do people feel bad for Eli Manning? When they wanted to run him out of town after he won
but
the
did,
Super Bowl.
But did they run Eli out of town? Did they give Eli a chance?
Oh, his ownership, but everybody else was crucifying
but
him.
But he got These a Jets, fair chance. And this that's Mark my
Sanchez,
point.
And that's one of my points. Why Mark Sanchez has not matured is because he's been coddled. He's been coddled his entire career, and it's time to stop.
Here's the problem. Nobody on this Jets organization has any idea how to raise a quarterback.
No, they don't.
They don't.
And it's sad. Quite frankly, it's sad.
The head coach has no idea what he's doing with the offense. Brian Schottenheimer was too big for his own bridges,
yep.
Who he thought he was. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no help for Mark Sanchez. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him make throws 2 years before last year with the guys he knows, when he knows when they're going to make the breaks in their routes.
And also, he has to get the right foot move. Conditions have to be perfect and ideal for Mark Sanchez to make that pass. That's another thing I think that if I was a Jet fan would scare me. That when the play breaks down, he's not able to make that throw unless conditions are perfect.
Was Eli in his third year?
All right, yes. But like I said, just like Eli had to work through those things, Mark Sanchez has to work through those things.
And he deserves a chance to. That's my point.
Exactly. But like I'm saying, the Jets are not giving him this chance. They coddled him. They coddled him. And now they're sabotaging him. They go from coddle to sabotage.
And that's why he needs to ask for a trade.
It's not going to happen, which I think it would be good.
But, I mean, everyone knows what's going to happen, Reg. Everyone knows.
And to your point that they're not going to fall in love, I'm telling you, Sanchez is going to throw an interception, they will turn on him, the likes of which we never seen. And Tebow will come in. And if Tebow plays great, this city, as we said, this city gets on you when you lose. But there is no better place to win. This city, if Tim Tebow tells the Jets, here's my back, we're going for a ride, they will fall in love. New York and America will have a love affair with Tim Tebow. The question is, will he do it and can he do it?
You're misunderstanding my point there. My point on about the city not being in love with Tebow, meaning this. Last four games, he lost 3 out of 4 games in Denver. You didn't hear a peep about Tim Tebow, anything negative. If that happens here, as they fell in love with him, is as quickly they're going to throw him into the fire.
You listen, my man Stephen A. Smith, he always spoke where he throws the truth on Tim Tebow.
But I'm not talking about Stephen A. Smith. I'm not talking about national ESPN guys. I'm talking about the fan base in Denver. Yes. Nobody was screaming for Brady Quinn when they lost 3 out of 4.
No, they didn't want Brady Quinn.
Nobody was screaming for Kyle Orton.
They legitimately
Orton.
Thought that he was better than those two.
No one was screaming for anything when Tebow lost 3 out of 4. If that happens here, he's gonna get thrown into the flames.
Oh, of course. This is a lose-lose situation.
It is, and that goes back to my point last week where unless Sanchez gets traded, Sanchez's career is over and so is Tim Tebow's. And the Jets are in a whole bunch of trouble.
You know what? I think Tebow has the better shot than Sanchez. I think Sanchez definitely done.
But look,
Tebow's gunning for his job.
But Tebow was in a place where he could have been groomed by John freaking Elway. Who was going to help? Nobody
he
can help
John
Mark.
Elway.
Mark Sanchez is a better thrower than Tim Tebow. Correct?
Yes.
So if they couldn't help a guy like Sanchez with his ability and talent passing the ball, what are they going to do with a guy like Tebow?
Sanchez is more accurate.
But what are they going to do with a guy like Tebow, Reg?
Then,
nothing. Nothing.
You know what they're going to turn him into? A running back. That's exactly what they're going
to
do.
But he doesn't want to be a running back.
What you want to do and what you have to do are two different things.
Yeah, but what he says and what he wants is two different things as well.
All right, and here's one thing, and this is where Rex should have a loud mouth. You're my player. You do what I tell you to.
If you don't, you know, the door. No, of course he will. But that doesn't mean he's going to be happy about it.
No, well, you know what?
And then this is going to be a one-and-done thing.
He says that he's going to be a trooper and, hey, he's going to put his money where his mouth is. I just want this season to start tomorrow.
Yeah, I just want to see how it's going to go.
I really do.
Because it's going to be an absolute joke.
Yep. They couldn't even have the jerseys because Nike is unveiling their new uniforms for all the teams. So we'll be on the lookout for that. But it almost didn't seem official without that jersey.
Yeah, that was weird that they didn't have the jersey.
The whole thing was weird. They were in the field house. He was there with none of the Jets officials. I mean, just the whole thing. It was like, listen, we're putting this mainstream, but we want this to be as no frills as possible. That's what the Jets are. It's all dressed up and no place to go. I think that's a metaphor. This press conference was a metaphor for their backwards franchise. Make a big show and then don't show up. The owners, the coach, the players, just throw them to the wolves. That's Jets right there. So Tim Tebow, he better get used to that because that's what's going to be his remaining time here in New York.
I agree. It's going to be a complete disaster.
I just wish that they played the Giants again this year.
You know what? I wish that too.
Because the Giants would have put the nail in that coffin. And Sanchez would throw three picks. And then they bring in Tebow, and JPP would get his hands on him. And then I think they would have to get Drew Stanton back.
Yeah,
where's McElroy? Is McElroy still on the payroll?
I don't think so. Really, well, so actually, I do think he is on the
payroll. Really? So maybe McElroy.
That's going to be, wow, that's going to be something to that's watch for some sure.
Organization they're running up there.
Yeah. Oof. Could you imagine that whole ownership group was involved with the Giants?
Yes. Oh,
I'd be going crazy. I don't know how these Jet fans aren't going nuts right now.
You know what? Half are and half have this delusion that this is going to bring them to the promised land. So, you know, and Jet fans, we love to hear from you. You can see us on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Tumblr. You can go on our Facebook page, Twitter, at Reggie Wade, at Eric Celia, and just tweet us your thoughts. Like we said, Jet fans, we want to hear from you. We were trying to get the calls up, but we're having some technical difficulties. But hey, that's life. We're rolling with the punches. We're going through. Next week, we're trying to set up the state-of-the-art call system.
Right.
Because we really have to hear from Jet Nation. Because we're outsiders looking in. We want to get the opinions of people who are right in the pot, who's stirring the gumbo.
Right. I agree. I agree 100%. But when we get back, we're going to work on that issue. We're going to see if we can get anything to go down when we get back.
I hear that.
I'm Eric Celia.
I'm Reggie Wade.
Ready?
Is it live or no?
No.
We are back on the Heavy Hitters. I'm Reggie Wade.
I'm Eric Celia.
And here, courtesy of the CSB hotline, we actually have our first caller. Is a caller from Brooklyn, Mr. Gregory Harvey Morris.
Now, Greg Morris is a Jet fan. And he is our first goal. Like we said, we wanted to get the pulse of the Jet Nation. We want to get what their opinion is on Tim Tebow. Do they think it's going to work and things of that matter? So, Greg, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Now, Greg, this is Reggie. I have to ask you first, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right, Reggie. How's it going?
Good. I want to ask you, as a Jet fan, how do you feel? What are your thoughts about this whole Tim Tebow situation? And we'll give you enough time to vent.
I love the Tebow situation. I was in the Jets when out and they got him. You know, I have a feeling he's going to be able to improve that whole Wildcat offense. And also, I have a feeling that he's just going to light up underneath Mark Sanchez, where Sanchez is going to be like, if he's trying to put up a shut up, because, I mean, even though they're saying Sanchez is going to go through the starter, if he had that over his head, that Tim Tebow is sitting on the bench, and 95% of New York would rather see Tebow play when Sanchez starts scrambling and making bad throws when the pocket collapses, I think that it's just going to push that team forward. And I just love Tebow. I feel like he's a leader. I feel like he can come in here and he can finally give inspiration to the team. And I just think Sanchez lacks the leadership qualities that Tebow possesses.
But, Greg, let me ask you this question. You don't think that this is going to have a negative effect on Mark Sanchez's psyche, that every time he throws an interception, every time he throws a bad pass, the fans are going to be screaming for Tebow? I mean, you don't think that could affect the guy that you guys selected in the first round with the fifth overall pick and just screw that whole situation up?
Well, Well, as far as I see, the only way you measure success is through championships. And you can tell me, yes, the Jets got the AFC Championship back-to-back. And look at, you know, Mark Sanchez, versus any game coming out. Until you have a product on the field that's going to win championships, I don't care what your site is. I don't care if they have, like, a Jake Cutler bottle. But, you know, if Mark Sanchez is not doing what he's supposed to be doing with his passes, or if he's not doing what he has to be doing with, like, scrambling, I have, like, him seeing Tebow in the wings. Let him cry. Let him do whatever he has to do. As long as the Jets start producing offense on that field, I don't care what Mark Sanchez thinks. I don't care what his psyche is. And if he doesn't get psyched out, guess what? Can Tebow sit on the sideline?
Yeah, Greg, great, great stuff.
Good stuff, Greg. Thank you for calling in. We look forward to hearing you on a weekly basis.
Okay, let's go on Brooklyn Bad Boys.
That's right, Brooklyn Bad Boys. We'll hit that up when I hang up with you.
Sounds good, bro.
All right. Take care.
That was, again, we thank Greg Morris. And
that was,
you know,
Greg Morris. That was a Jet fan who likes the move, right?
You know, and we're going to see a lot of that. Jet fans who like it and Jet fans who hate it. You know, we also want opinions from the other side. We have the positives. I think we can get a person that can give us the negatives. What do you think?
I think we can, but just real quick, Greg Moore says Brooklyn Bad Boys. That is our softball team. We will starting tomorrow night.
Yes, we will.
So there's one. We're going to get another one on the line for you right now as we're getting our second caller.
Yes, we do have our second caller, and we believe it's Mr. Stephen Palinetti from Staten Island. Stephen, you there?
Hello, Stephen, you there?
I am here. I'm glad to be on with the hitters tonight.
Thank you.
Listen, we're getting all the pulse of the Jet fans out there, and we want their opinions on Tim Tebow. We just had a caller, Greg Morris, call in. He was happy about the Tim Tebow move. Steven, are you on the same plane as that?
I am. I'm a minority among Jet fans, but I am very pro Tebow. I'm very excited. I think it'll add a new dimension to the offense. I think he's an outstanding character guy. This locker room was torn apart last year. Hopefully some troubled guys have moved on, but I think Tebow will bring a positive influence. I think if anybody could work out sort of tough situation between him and Sanchez, that now he might put a little more pressure on Sanchez. I think Tebow can, but I feel very good about it. I have been a fan of him, in Denver over the last year, I welcome the move.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Greg Morris, which was, are you worried about Sanchez's psyche with this move, bringing in Tebow?
No, I think this is now going to be Sanchez's fourth season that he's starting.
Yeah, this is going to be his fourth.
It's going to be his fourth. It's the expression, you have to put up or shut up. Yes, he got us to two AFC championships, but that had a lot to do with a tremendous defense also. So I think Sanchez will show me something if he comes in and delivers. He needs to hang on. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I think Sanchez has to he's going to feel a little bit of the heat, but I think that's okay. Yeah, a lot of the Jet fans are making it out of now there's a quarterback controversy. You know what? I love competition. Let there be a competition. And if Sanchez, even though they gave him this additional extension here, if he's not the right guy, he's not the right guy, and then let Tebow come in and run the show. But there comes a point where Sanchez has to deliver. I mean, they're paying him tremendous money, to be the starter. But you saw what Tebow did all last year. The guy comes up in the clutch. He's got the team gets behind him. He's a tremendous leader, and we'll see how it goes in training camp and in the preseason and the beginning of the year. But if there's a competition, so be it. And if Sanchez, he's going to have to respond.
So do you think this was a move that was made purely for football reasons and not because Big Brother won the Super Bowl?
That might have a little bit to do with it. You know the Jets, more than a lot of other teams, I think, respond to what the fans are. They pay probably a little more attention to the blogs and Twitter and what the callers on Francesa say than a lot of other teams. But they, you know, they've been off the back page. They were only on the back pages over the last year for bad reasons.
Right.
So now, if we get a good character guy. The guy is probably the most popular NFL player in the league. You know, in the league right now, he's probably one of the top couple most popular athletes in the world. I think that has a little to do with it. I mean, between Giant Super Bowls, we had the back pages with those championship runs and like that, and those, you know, the back to back AFC Championship game appearances.
Right.
But after last season. It was all negative about what was going on between the problems in the locker room, Rex losing the pulse of the team, which he admitted, problems among the coaching staff, ownership. I think a little bit of it has to do with taking back some of the headlines, which I'm okay with.
Okay, well, just in response to that, that is their mind coming across with. Making moves for reaction to the fans and stuff like that. My theory on that is if you listen to the fans, pretty soon you'll be sitting right next to them. And as far as the back pages, my answer to that is the Jets could keep on winning the back page and we'll just keep on winning the Super Bowls. But, Steven, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you so much,
Steve. Stay on the line. We're going to send you a Heavy Hitters t-shirt. We're going to get all your information. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back. I'm all Eric right. Celia.
I'm Reggie Wade.
We are back on the Heavy Hitters. I'm Eric Celia.
And I'm Reggie Wade.
I'd just like to apologize if there was any, noises or sounds that were messed up in those interviews or those calls, because we're still trying to work out the kinks. This was our first time.
We have a new calling system.
We have a new calling system, trying to work it all out, but I think it went pretty good.
You know, I think it really did, and I hate to, not nostalgic, but it really made me feel good. Like, we're taking this show to the next level.
No, we are. And we did have a third caller on the line, but we got disconnected, couldn't get him back up. So,
yeah.
But he did like the move, Reg.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
We talked to three Jet fans, and all three of them liked the move. And basically what I got out of all three of them was, the hell with Sanchez.
Basically.
I mean,
and you know what? And that's good, because that's the same stance that his franchise has taken on him. So
yeah, and I asked him, are you worried? I asked each one of them, are you worried that this is going to affect Sanchez's psyche and get to him and lead to him being benched? And they all said no, because if he gets benched, then so be it.
You know what? This reminds me of old political saying. President Harry Truman once said, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. And I think Mark Sanchez is going to have to get a dog very soon, because he is getting no love. And the papers, did you see a picture of Tim Tebow and Sanchez's supposed girlfriend, Kate Upton? Does the man get no respect? Tebow stealing his job, his woman. I mean, what is this?
He wants to move into his neighborhood, too.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But hey, Sanchez gets it. It gets it everywhere it goes. But you know what? I almost feel bad. I've never been a Sanchez supporter in the pros. I was big on Sanchez in college. I thought he had a lot of potential when he went to the Jets. I said, this kid could do a lot, and he's just disappointed. He really has. And I think that's why I'm so tough on Mark Sanchez, because I really saw the potential that he had.
It's tough love.
Yeah, it's tough love. Mark is tough love, baby. That's what it is.
But tough love. These Jet fans are showing tough love.
They really are.
I mean, it's like, yeah, he brought us to two AFC title games, but who cares?
That means
nothing to us.
Almost doesn't count.
Oh, come on, Reg. Come on. Almost doesn't count.
I mean, it doesn't.
When you're a first and second year quarterback, it should count.
I mean, come on.
If he was a grizzled veteran, then no, it doesn't count.
All right, in both those games, they had opportunities to win.
They did. Because of Mark Sanchez.
All right, but they didn't. He did not take that step.
I don't know, Reg. I think everyone is way too hard on this kid.
Oh.
What?
You are one. What? Let's not play coy here.
What?
You are what you want to talk about getting on Mark Sanchez. You are one of Mark Sanchez's key criticizers. My
listen,
goodness.
I they criticize
during the season.
No, I criticize him for his play. I do. But in the
what am I criticizing him for?
But no, I'm saying in the big picture, I don't think it warrants him getting treated like this and him getting thrown to the curb. And just to be, with the snap of a finger, out of the Jet fans' minds, out of mind, out of sight, in the blink of an eye. It just doesn't.
Well, he's going to be their starting quarterback day one, so they better get him back in sight. Not for how long?
I don't even know if he's going to last that long, Reg. I don't know. If he comes out the second half in game one, I'll be surprised. I'm serious.
Oh man, how are the fans gonna react? Will he get booed his first game when they announce him as the starter?
Probably.
You think so?
Yes. But listen, Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow, not the only thing to talk about today.
No.
We got big news.
Yes, and it's coming out of New Orleans. Supposedly, Sean Payton, the coach of this year, he will be the former coach of the New Orleans Saints, wants to make Bill Parcells his successor and interim coach this year. And my thoughts are, one, why is he even at these meetings? He is fired for a year. What is he even doing there? And what kind of coach picks his successor? But, I mean, if you had to pick someone, I think the big tuna would be a great choice. Eric?
Was he confirmed at those meetings? Is that for sure? Or are you just assuming because he got in touch with Parcells?
With Sean Payton?
Yeah.
They said that the reports were that it was at the meeting, which struck me as, why is he even there? I don't know if it starts when the season starts. I don't know what the rules on that are.
Maybe.
But the big tuna, I mean, I think he could do something. You know what? The Saints, because of this, I mean, they still have Drew Brees, other players on the defense that were part of this bounty gate. You have to think suspensions will come down. I don't think the Saints are going to be what they were last year with all these distractions. And I think the best way for them to weather this storm is to have a no-nonsense coach like Bill Parcells.
I agree with you on that they need a guy who could get everyone in order and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I also look at it as, when Bill Parcells does something, he wants full autonomy. He wants control over everything. And you could kind of see him headbutting with Drew Brees here. Because this is Drew Brees' team. This is Drew Brees' offense. Drew Brees runs it the way Drew Brees wants to run it. And I could see Parcells wanting to change things here and there. And Brees just be like, hey, listen, I've put up record after record, year after year, won a Super Bowl here. You're not going to tell me how to come in and run my offense.
You know what? One thing I have to correct you a little bit, it's Sean Payton's offense. And one thing a lot of people are making the mistake, you know, Drew Brees, and I'm the biggest Drew Brees supporter, but I think of any coach quarterback tandem that we have seen that won, I think the greatest partnership is Sean Payton and Drew Brees, the preparation that they go through together. The fact that when he was scouted by New Orleans and by Miami, Miami wanted to put him through all these tests. Sean Payton says, I want you as my quarterback. So I think that's why it's going to take a mental toll. Just how close Drew Brees is with the play calling with Sean Payton.
I don't know if you could say, I guess you're saying that it's Sean Payton's offense because Drew Brees was mediocre before he got.
Not mediocre, but
Drew Brees.
He wasn't Drew Brees. And something clicked. The two of them fit perfectly together. And I don't know if you could just, I don't think you could just throw anyone in that mix and work that magic again.
Right, including Bill Parcells.
Including Bill Parcells, as great as he is. And I've seen
this team. And that's what I'm saying. Yes, I think they're going to clash.
Yeah, I've seen this team go and make my team, who are the world champions, look like they didn't even matter. Mm. And, I mean, just the two of them, they're geniuses. So, yeah, I think this may be bad for the Saints either way you slice it. I think, as a defensive standpoint, Parcells coaching all those great defensive teams, I think him and Spagnuolo will be great on the defensive side of the ball. But the offense, it remains to be seen.
I agree completely with that. But that's not the only news, again, as we move away from the NFL here.
Yes.
And we go into the NBA. The New York Knickerbockers, just when things started to look up, 6-1 under Mike Woodson, a game and a half lead over the Milwaukee Bucks, who they are playing currently right now.
And you got a score there, Miss Cecilia?
52-47 Milwaukee at the half. Yeah. And just as everything was starting to click and go right for this team, something they really haven't gotten hit with in the last 2 weeks since the return of Carmelo and Amari is the injury bug.
Yes.
And now with the injury bug, you have Jeremy Lin out with a knee tonight. We're not sure how serious that is. We're not sure how many games he's going to miss. But that is minuscule compared to the other news we heard about, I'd say maybe 2 hours ago, that Amari Stoudemire was diagnosed with a bulging disc in his back. And the big fear of the Knicks, that back and the knees, is becoming a reality. And he's going to miss some time. He could miss the whole year. He's going for a second opinion in Miami.
Mm-hmm. And he's bringing his bulging disc to South Beach.
It's pretty, How long have you been saving that gem up for?
I said it in the car.
But this is trouble, Reg. This is trouble. I mean, Amari was just starting to find his game. He was starting to resemble the player last year. He was starting to get that
really
lift
was.
Back.
He was finishing strong above the rim.
Explosiveness that Amari always has. We see in the last 3 to 4 games. And just like that, it's gone. And yep. Within the blink of an eye, it's all gone. And now you got to use guys to put them in different positions. See, everyone was playing their position. That contributed to the success of this team. No one was playing out of position. Everyone was playing their position. Now, you're going to have to play guys out of their position. And well, it's going to be a mess.
Well, if you look and if you want to read Nick articles, I write Nick articles on 212sports.com. And if you want to hear my two cents, I don't know why would you, but if you want to, it's out there.
It's good stuff.
And thank you, man. And I wrote an article about who can help the Knicks down the stretch. I think this is going to be his time. I believe he started tonight, Amon Shumpert. And I really think this is his time to really step in there and do something. They're going to need it. Now, of course, Amon Shumpert is not the physical specimen that Amari is. But I believe with his defense, he can actually save the points that Amari would have made on the offense. So I think he's going to be very key in this. Eric?
I agree with you, Reg. Shumpert's going to be a big, big part of this team. I mean, his defense that he brings is relentless. He makes a couple stupid fouls here and there. But overall, he's very good on the defensive side. His isolation game has been getting better. He just needs to work on a shot more. And he could be a decent player. But listen, Mob Deep, which is the bench, they called the bench Mob Deep. They're gonna have to step up even more than what they were. And they were playing on a phenomenal level as it is.
Yep.
So now you got guys like J.R. Smith, Steve Novakane, Novak, you got your Baron Davises, who's filling in for Jeremy Lin, your Amon Shumpert's, as you alluded to.
Yep.
I mean, even your guys like Mike Bibby is going to have to step up.
Who would have thought Mike Bibby?
I mean, Harrison.
They should tell me Tony Douglas is going to have to step up.
Harrison, who I can't stand, is going to have to start playing good. And it just doesn't look good for this team. It'll be surprising if they hold on to their 8 seed and get into the playoffs.
You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you because we have Milwaukee with a lead now. If Milwaukee holds on, I know there's still a whole half. That's a half a game, and the slope gets very slippery.
It's a whole game. Yep. Well, the lead's down to
it. Yeah, it leads down to a half a game. The slope gets very slippery when you lose to the team you're directly in front of, and then all of a sudden they still have to play a lot of good opponents, a lot of playoff-bound opponents.
Very tough schedule.
And when you got guys injured, it's very – and we've seen these Knicks – things can get into their head. So the Knicks really, Mike Woodson, if he's ever rallied the troops, he has to do it tonight in this locker room, a la Tom Coughlin.
And again, the giant comparisons.
Yes.
But there's one way I think this team could overcome everything.
How?
And I was telling this to my fiance the other day, and if you listen to me on the show, Reg, there's one guy I've defended more than anybody from any team so far.
Yes.
Out of my four sports teams, there's one guy I've had no negativity towards. I've fought tooth and nail for this man.
Yes.
Do you know who that is?
Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony. And my patience is running short.
Welcome.
Because his shooting is not improving.
No.
And if this team wants to overcome the adversity of Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony has to turn into Carmelo Anthony very quickly. And if he does, then they still could be one of the most dangerous teams in the league. And if you could get Amari back for playoff time, then look out, with Carmelo being hot. So there's still a chance, but he has to get into that mindset, get into that groove he's been in basically his whole career.
Yep.
And that's be a scoring machine, plus contribute to the defense like he's been doing under Mike Woodson.
I hear that. And, you know, that remains to be seen, but we also have to go to some other NBA news. And you know what? I am a man. I don't run. I don't run when things don't go my way.
I know where you're going.
We talked about who we thought was going to be in the NBA Finals. Oklahoma City Thunder, the former Seattle Supersonics, before they were stolen from Seattle and brought to Oklahoma, a travesty. The Thunder versus The Thunder.
I like it.
Versus the Miami Heat and
the Thunder
won,
paradise.
and I have to, you know, which was a great show starring Hulk Hogan. But I mean, I have to give you your due. The Thunder were impressive. They played like they wanted it. Miami was lethargic. Some people say LeBron might have been a little hurt, but you know what? I'm not gonna.
See what I'm doing?
Yes, the world's smallest violin. Yeah. I'm not gonna concede defeat with this Heat team yet. I still think over a 7-game series, the Heat can do it. They're as good as anybody, Eric.
To quote my man Stone Cold Steve Austin, ah, not gonna happen, Reg.
All right,
that's not gonna
happen. That's why we play the game.
You know why? I got one word / nickname for you.
Why?
Do you want me to say it or do you want to say it? Which one skeeves you out less?
Oh, you say it.
Durantula.
Yes.
Durantula, Durantula, Durantula.
Yes.
That man is a freak.
He is.
He is a beast. He should be the MVP of this league. And he is just as good as LeBron James. That's right. I said it.
You said it.
And that team is hella dangerous. And I think they're going to win it all. That's my opinion. All
right. That remains to be seen. There's a lot of games to be played.
There is a lot of games to be played.
And what do you think about Derek Fisher there?
I think he's going to help. He's still good on the defensive side, pretty much.
He looks so out of it. Like, he just doesn't want to be there. He wanted to play with Kobe. Him and Lamar Odom, they just wanted to be there with Kobe.
Yeah.
And you could just see it in their face. You feel bad for them.
Yeah, you do. You do. But listen, he went from... It's hard to say this with the Lakers, but he went to a better team.
He went from ashy to classy.
I can't say that.
Well, that's the biggie line.
I know, but come on.
What?
Come on.
You never get ashy.
I get dry skin.
That's ashy.
Really?
Yes, that's what ashy is, dry skin.
Yeah, but white people don't use that term.
All right, now you're bringing the race into this. talking about me.
I'm just saying.
All right. On that note...
Listen, there's certain things white people can and cannot say without getting our butts whipped.
What, ashy?
I just don't know what the line is.
All right, ashy is part of the line.
Now that I got the authority from a real, genuine black man, I could say ashy.
Exactly, there we go. Went from ashy to classy.
Ashy Larry.
Ashy Larry, exactly, remember? Go put on
ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Now I'm just going to start saying it nonstop.
I think so. I think this is where we end this show.
Really?
I think so.
There's nothing else we could talk about?
Yeah. What you got? You sound like you got something on your mind.
How about WrestleMania? It's a week away.
My good wrestle.
How could you forget, Reg? What is wrong with you?
With Tebow Mania, WrestleMania, oh my goodness. It's coming, and you know what? And as we said before, this can either be one of the greats, or WWE can just totally mess this up. And I'm going with the latter. Last year,
right.
Let me tell you something. Last year's WrestleMania was weird. I sat horrified.
It was
in
all,
my
no,
house.
Let's use that word differently here.
Yes.
It wasn't. Would you say it was weird?
Yeah.
No, it was brutal.
It was brutal.
It was a terrible WrestleMania.
That they started the World Heavyweight Championship match first, and then the guy Del Rio loses.
And then there's a rumor that. They get to start off with the WWE Championship match.
It's like, what is your problem? Like, they want to sabotage their own product. That's why JV was saying competition works. You see, they never did in the WCW era. You saw some of the tightest WrestleManias you ever saw in your life, top to bottom, because they knew they had to go up against Starrcade, or they have to go up against now Bound for Glory, Slammiversary. So they can put up whatever product they want. On this, they say, the champ don't want to say the whole event. Wrestle first. Wrestle for 15 minutes, and then you head to the balls early. NWO style, Nash style, Hall style, Hogan style. So that's what it is. So I have a feeling that WWE is going to do that. But you know what? After I let the anger subside and I look back at the whole WrestleMania, I said, you know what? It wasn't that bad.
No, it was awful.
But in the heat of the moment, it seemed a lot worse.
No, it was awful.
Even the stage background, which I love now. At first, I'm like, what is that?
It was awful. But this does have the potential to be one of the greatest of all time.
It does. But we know next year it will be in our backyard, in the home of the world champion, New York Giants.
That's right. But I'm going to get some predictions from you, Reg, right now. I'm putting you on the spot.
All
right. Let's break this down match for match.
Yes.
Let's start off with the Divas match. You got Maria Menounos and Kelly Kelly.
Does she want to be a wrestler?
I think so. Taking on...
I'm a big fan.
Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres.
Menounos.
I think so, too. You're bringing a celebrity like that. I think you're going to give them the W, like Snooki. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. The meatball splash. Now Snooki is with child, so.
Yes. She can't do those splashes no more.
No.
Okay, then we move from that to Team Laurinaitis against Team Teddy.
I say Team Laurinaitis.
So you think Johnny Ace will be the GM of both Raw and SmackDown once WrestleMania is over?
They got a gold mine with Johnny Ace, and I don't see it stopping.
Okay. Okay, I respect that. I think Teddy Long's going to win.
All right, you think that's the end of Laurinaitis?
For now, yes.
All right.
For now. I could see him weaseling his way back in.
I hear that.
Okay, then from there we go to Cody, which I think is being an underrated feud right now. Cody Rhodes against The Big Show.
The Big Show.
Really?
Yes.
This is Cody's coming out party. This match is made purely to put Cody Rhodes over. You disagree?
You know what? I have to. This is what it's going to be. It's going to. What's that? All right. He's going to have to lose, like Shawn Michaels had to lose that Intercontinental title to go on to bigger and better things. He lost it to Razor Ramon in WrestleMania 10. WrestleMania 11, he was in the main event. He lost to Diesel. WrestleMania 12, he realized his dream. Cody Rhodes will lose that match and get that strap taken for him, but it will be a sacrifice to main event status. Almost like what a Sheamus had to go through.
But you do that to guys who are going to be the next Intercontinental Champions. Not to guys who are going to take a step back and become an Intercontinental champions.
Nope.
You know, so it makes no sense for The Big Show to step back and be an IC champion.
And Triple H became an IC champion when Stone Cold had the world championship and the tag team champion. He was the Intercontinental and the tag team. So if Triple H could take a step back and he was in the company, I think Big Show could definitely do it.
And with that, as we segue so beautifully on this show, that brings us to the streak. The Undertaker goes one-on-one with Triple H in a Hell in a Cell, Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee. Now, I'm going to give you a little nugget here that might change your answer on this match here.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors starting to swirl that this very, very well might be The Undertaker's last match. With that being said, who do you think is going to win this match?
Either way, Undertaker. If this is the last match, they're going to send him off. It makes no sense for his last match, them doing it to Triple, because then that takes away all possibility. The streak is a business. Every year, we look to see what's going to be the new thing, and we get enthralled. Can this be the year? They are going to keep that alive. There's no way from a business standpoint that they would keep that moneymaker not going, and even if it is his last match, I think he goes out on top. This will be for 20-0, and I think there's no way they stop it. 19-1.
What do you see Shawn Michaels' role in this match being?
Shawn Michaels is going to help Triple H, and Triple H is not going to take it. Shawn Michaels is going to super kick him, and then The Undertaker's going to choke slam him, tombstone. Shawn Michaels is going to count the three, and maybe that adds to a little thing with them two down the road, but that's what I think. What do you think?
Interesting. I think The Undertaker does win this match when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shawn Michaels is going to wind up kicking both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they both come to, he'll call it right down the middle.
I hear that.
That's my opinion. But then that leads us to your boy, Sheamus.
Yep.
Number one contender going one-on-one with Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight title, Reg.
And, you know, sorry there. I told you I'm a little under the weather. Get it all out. Yes, these are people, and I think they really need to play this angle up more. It's been a silent feud with these two.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of old school. But these were two men who weren't good enough to be on the card. They were faced with each other last WrestleMania for the U.S. title, and they turned it. It was a dark match, and then they turned it into a battle royal halfway through. Two guys that weren't even good enough to be on the pay-per-view card now get to headline, and I think this is the thank you for Sheamus. Sheamus was on Raw, the WWE champion. He had two title reigns that were less than impressive. And they sent him to SmackDown, they turned him face, they made him do all this radio and publicity, and Sheamus, from what I'm reading for Insiders, did it all with a smile. He did it 100%, he didn't complain once, and they said, you know what, kid, we're going to take care of you. We're going to show everyone that that's the attitude to have. No one's bigger than this company, and if you play the role, then you get rewarded. And I think Sheamus will be the World Heavyweight Champion. I think he will have a long title run on SmackDown. And eventually, I think by years up, I think he'll be back on Raw.
I agree with everything you just said. I can't argue with anything because you're spot on that. Mm-hmm. And you know your Sheamus info.
Yes, I do.
So that leads us to the WWE Championship match, which is Chris Jericho and CM Punk. Or I like to call him CM Drunk.
CM Drunk.
Because he will become a drunk after this match.
I say CM Punk, or Drunk as you say, wins this match because the rumors are that Jericho tours with Fozzy. If it wasn't for that, I would say Jericho would win. But him leaving, I really say that CM Punk wins this. But I don't think Punk's champion for much longer.
I think Jericho's going to walk out with the title.
Really?
I really do.
I hope so.
Maybe that's just my heart speaking and not my head. But I think Jericho's going to walk out.
It sounds like our football predictions are hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that leads us to the big daddy of them all. The biggest match in WrestleMania history. The Rock goes one-on-one with John Cena. Reg, who do you like and who's going to win?
All right. Now, this is a little bit of a I don't want to say spoiler alert, but the new tagline has been revealed for the next pay-per-view. And it says, how will John Cena react mentally coming off the biggest match of his career? I say that John Cena wins this match, and I say he does it in a dirty way.
Really?
I say he takes a chair or some object, and he just beats the hell out of The Rock behind the referee's back.
So you're saying John Cena's going to pull a Stone Cold from WrestleMania, what was it, 14 with The Rock?
Yes.
Interesting.
It won't be that bold, like he's a heel, but it will be like Cena's doing what Cena has to do. And this is what he's always done. We've seen it with Kane in the street fight, which is a match that you forgot, Kane and Randy Orton.
That's right.
But that's what I think, and that's going to be the whole thing. What we saw from Cena at WrestleMania, is this a sign of things to come, or did he just go berserk?
Real quick, I think Randy Orton wins that match.
All right, yes.
I'm rooting for Cena. Even though The Rock's last promo on the last Raw was the closest to The Rock has been The Rock since coming back.
What, when he was singing, or?
No, with the, just the last promo we got.
With the Rocky statue?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, yeah.
I think that was the closest he's been. He used the whole, you know, take it, roll, shine it up, roll it up. You know, he did all his vintage Rock stuff. Yep. And I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for Cena, but something tells me The Rock is going to win this match.
Really?
I don't know why. I just think The Rock is going to win. I think that I think it'll help Cena still have that nasty image after it's all said and done. Because if he wins, what chip does he have on his shoulder? If he loses, you could play this angle up the same character he is now, that he's got a chip on his shoulder, he's a little nastier.
I think
it'll help carry that image past WrestleMania if he loses.
I hear that. It should be a great card. And what I'm most excited about, the stage background.
That's right. You love your stage background.
This is what I'll say. You know me, if it's a bad stage background, it's almost a bad pay-per-view. I can't get through. I can't really say it was a good pay-per-view. I love the schematic designs. Outdoor WrestleManias and outdoor backgrounds tend to be a little lackluster, I think. They're able to scrimp on it because they say part of the allure is that we're outside and the forecast has come out 80 degrees, 20% chance of showers. So it's pretty good forecast. So, you know what? I hope the background is good. I like indoor WrestleManias better with indoor backgrounds. So, you know, hopefully it's good.
I think it'll be a good WrestleMania.
I hope so.
But, you know, we'll give the card update next week, tell you who won, who the big winners are, who the big losers are.
Yep.
That's all we got for today, Roger.
An action-packed, little wrestling.
A little wrestling, action-packed show. We had some callers. We
reminded people that the Giants are the Super Bowl 46 champions.
Yes, they are still the champions, despite Tebow Mania.
Yes, they are.
Just thought we'd bring that up. I think we should bring that up every show.
I think so.
Weekly reminder. We'll get like a little sound plug in, you know, like
the Giants are still world champions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I think it works good.
32 teams. And you know what? And that's something, you know, hey, we've been hard on the Jets, but you know what? Like you said, the Jets can do whatever they want for the back page. But on September 5th, one team will be raising the Vince Lombardi Trophy, and that is the New York Football Giants.
As always, baby, as always. Reg, good show?
Good show.
Everybody, tune in to us next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Reg, take us home.
We're the Heavy Hitters. I'm Reggie Wade.
I'm Eric Celia.
Y'all come back now. You hear?